bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. So thrilled you're listening to Talk Healthy Today. Today's topic really touches my heart. I grew up with a mother in chronic pain. In the early 70s, she had several bad knee surgeries, which left her unable to walk without pain. I had to carry ice everywhere we went. And then when I was a teen, she got fibromyalgia. And it was just this endless cycle of constant pain, which now I'm calling persistent pain because I learned a lot reading Joe Tata's book. Well, he's going to join us now. Heal Your Pain Now, the revolutionary program to reset your brain and body for a pain-free life. Joe Tata, DPT, CNS. You are a physical therapist. I had thought about that at one point. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lisa. It's great to be here. Thanks so much for that great introduction.
Well, it's so nice to have you on. You know, one of the things I really like to do is bring personal stories to the show. I think it makes such a difference. And I was really moved. I listened to an interview that somebody did with you, and they did such a great job. And you talked about your own mother and you realizing when you were about seven, her having her own issues that would nowadays be called adrenal fatigue. Talk to us about that and how that influenced your decision to get into healthcare.
Yeah, well, I think so many of us who have, you know, gone into healthcare, we've either had our own health crisis or have been, present in someone else's healthcare crisis. And for me, it was my mom. My mom was a nurse, and she actually still is a nurse. And she used to work on the adolescent cancer floor of a major hospital near where I grew up, and she used to work the night shift. So during the day, she would take care of, you know, the house and the kids and the dog and the husband and do the food shopping. You know, do all the things that women do these days. And at night, she would actually work nights in the hospital taking care of kids who were sick. And this was in the 80s, so a lot of kids were, you know, terminal with cancer, unfortunately. And she did that for a number of years, and then she, you know, really got burnt out from it. And from that, she had digestive issues. She had problems with anxiety or depression. She kind of bounced back and forth between the two. She also had chronic pain issues. So she had back pain and neck pain, problems sleeping. She had, you know, problems with food as far as, picking which foods to eat and sometimes using food as medicine and other times using food kind of as a crutch, basically. So I watched her, you know, kind of hit rock bottom, but the incredible thing to me was I watched her heal herself 100% naturally from that without relying on drugs or surgery or anything else. So it was a big, a really big reason one of the reasons why I decided to be a doctor of physical therapy.
Well, you know, it's funny because my mother was also a health food nut and she took really good care of herself. And I swore when I grew up, I would live on Cap'n Crunch and cookies. And so it's kind of funny because when I got into high school, I got into healthy living and then I eventually got my master's in public health. And here we are in health ed and health communications. But it's funny, isn't it, how we are so we can be influenced. And it really broke my heart to see my mother. And unfortunately, she died in her 50s from ovarian cancer. So she never was relieved of pain. She just got more. And I want to help people, and I want to get the word out about your book, Heal Your Pain Now, because I really think it can make a difference. I love the approach you take. You write in the book, real pain care requires an integrative solution that recognizes the importance of what you put into your body, how you move your body, and the power of your mind to heal your body. I would love to start with looking at the brain and how your brain sees pain. I thought that was so fascinating. If you can share a bit about that.
Sure. It's a great place to start. You know, ultimately, no matter what type of pain you have, whether it's acute pain or chronic pain, your brain ultimately decides whether it's going to produce pain or not. And so often when we think of pain, we think of pain in our knee or in our ankle or in our lower back, and we look to the joints or the muscle or the tendon as the cause of pain. And there is some truth there, obviously. If you have, you know, a damage to a particular tissue, that obviously the pain is coming from that tissue. However, with chronic pain, which is what the majority of the 100 million Americans have, with chronic pain it becomes less about the actual tissue, and it becomes more about what's going on in the brain or the central nervous system. So over time, there are changes that happen in the nervous system, and it keeps your brain and your body, if you will, kind of in this hypervigilant state, or what I call the harm alarm. So our harm alarm stays turned on for longer than it should. And this happens with all sorts of chronic pain conditions. It happens with autoimmune disease. It happens with musculoskeletal pain. It happens with even things like depression. Depression and pain often look the same in the brain. So with the newest research that there points to the brain as the cause of pain and how we can try to influence that in someone's life with healthy integrated strategies.
What was interesting, too, is, and you may have noticed this with your mother, but and you did actually, you did mention depression. It gets depressing because when you feel like you're having Groundhog Day every day, and you wake up and you're in pain, and it's this cycle, and you've tried everything and nothing's working, and it just seems endless, right? And I mentioned in the beginning that you use the word persistent versus chronic. Tell us why.
So the word chronic, so language is very important. That's why I use the word persistent versus chronic, is language helps shape your pain experience. So if a practitioner, obviously someone you probably respect who has, you know, fancy credentials after them, if they tell you that your pain is going to be chronic signifies some type of permanence. And that can influence your thought patterns, it can influence your emotion, and it can cause pain to continue for longer than it should. I really like the word persistent better than chronic, because persistent tells me that something's gone on for too long, but I have the ability to influence it and to change it. So oftentimes when people have, quote-unquote, chronic pain, they're told, well, you have chronic pain, you're going to have to learn how to manage it. And even that word manage to many with chronic pain can be a scary thing. And we know that fear in and of itself can turn on pain. So if we decrease fear in someone's life, if we decrease fear in their thought patterns, then we'll decrease pain almost automatically and sometimes instantaneously. So I always tell people, I don't want you to manage your pain. I want you to learn how to solve your pain. And I want you to realize that your pain has persisted for longer than it should, but there are natural ways to turn that around. Your pain doesn't have to become chronic.
And how do we address that fear mechanism?
Well, there's a number of different ways to do it. The first are what are called pain catastrophizing thoughts. That's a big fancy word, but pain catastrophizing thoughts are the thoughts that you have on a daily basis, sometimes, you know, multiple times within an hour or a minute. And those are the negative thoughts that go like this. Pain's going to continue forever. This pain interferes with everything in my life. This pain is never going to go away. I'm always going to have this pain. So those negative thoughts feed negative thoughts, and they actually make certain hormones, like cortisol, or stress hormones, increase. And when those hormones increase, it actually makes your pain worse as far as the intensity as well as the duration. Sometimes just thinking about your thoughts and taking a minute to pause and be mindful throughout your day about what your thoughts are and see if you could reframe those thoughts into ones that are slightly more positive. So it may be, even though I have pain today, I was still able to go to work. Or even though I had pain today, I was still able to do my physical therapy exercises. Or even though I had pain today, I was still able to make some of the positive nutritional changes in my life that I need to decrease inflammation. So just changing someone's thought patterns, changing their perceptions around the pain experience is a really great strategy for decreasing that fear and decreasing pain.
That is such a great suggestion. You know, right now I've been struggling with persistent hip bursitis, and some things help. Sometimes it's better. Some days it's worse. And I would get in that mindset of, oh my gosh, my hip's going to hurt forever. I have three dogs. How am I going to walk them? What am I going to do? How am I going to do my Pilates? Blah, 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 blah. And now I'm like, you know what? I'll take it one day at a time. And some days it's good and some days it's not. And I'm doing some of the things in your book, and they're definitely helping. And I think it's also how we're raised. You know, when I get injured, I have this fear because of seeing my mother, who was in chronic or persistent pain her whole life, and then she passed away. And I'm not trying to be a big downer, everyone. I'm just saying there's like this fear that's additional. Have you seen that with people who have someone in their life who didn't do well with pain and it never resolved, and then if they have an issue, they sort of overblow it?
Yeah, Lisa, what you're talking about is a perfect articulation of how your thoughts or what you've been told about pain or what you've been taught about pain can influence your pain. So I had a patient recently who came to me with chronic back pain. She had back pain for 3 decades. She's never been able to alleviate it. And she's been to, you know, everyone, other physical therapists, massage therapists. She's done some stress relief. And I sat down with her and we talked about all the different things that are involved in the pain experience. And I said to her, who else in your life has had pain? She said, well, my mom had pain. And she had pain right around when she died from a heart attack. And I have a brother who's disabled. He was born with a disability, and he has pain also. back, and they both had back pain. So I asked her, what does back pain really mean to you? And she said, well, I really think it may mean that back pain means I'm either near death or it means I'm going to be disabled. Now, she may have been told that by someone in her life, whether it's a family member or a practitioner, or she may have come to those conclusions herself. So it's really important when we work with patients that we look at, you know, the mind-body interaction, and we kind of go through people's thought patterns and say, hey, let's kind of tweeze this out. Where did this come from? And let's try to reframe it.
That is so important. You know, I want to jump into the importance of what you put into your body. You know, I call myself a whole foodetarian. I think it's so important to eat whole foods. Talk to this in terms of how it helps with your pain when you're changing to better foods.
Sure. So if there's any kind of low-grade inflammation in your body, and that can be due to lifestyle choices, and the number one lifestyle choice that I look at oftentimes is nutrition. But when you have that low-grade inflammation, that can contribute to kind of this pain matrix that's developing in your body. So your thoughts are one aspect of that, which we spoke about. Your nutrition and that low-grade inflammation can be another aspect of that pain matrix. So looking at moving yourself from a, you know, what they call the standard American diet, which is quite often filled with sugar or processed foods or food additives, to a diet focused on whole natural foods. So I always tell patients to start out, if it comes in a box, a can, or made by man, chances are it doesn't have a place in your diet. And you want to look toward whole natural foods, obviously fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, whole grains, healthy meat and fish, things that you can find, obviously, in your grocery store. After that, we look towards something called leaky gut. And when you have a leaky gut, that's when your gut becomes permeable to certain types of proteins, whether they're food proteins or viruses or bacteria, and they can pass through the lining of the gut wall and cause inflammation. And that inflammation can spread throughout your entire body. And what's really interesting about the body is that most of the tissue you have in your body is some type of musculoskeletal tissue. So it's muscle, joints, cartilage, tendons, ligaments. That inflammation can lodge itself or become deposited in any one of those joints and cause a local inflammatory response. So nutrition is extremely important as a first place to go to when you want to decrease inflammation and you want to alleviate your pain.
Well, it was interesting to see leaky gut in the book because I actually was diagnosed with that many years. I don't struggle as much as I used to, but I really just stuck to whole foods. And it's funny because if I eat, let's say, a brown rice pasta, it'll make me tired. If I eat a quinoa pasta, it makes me tired. It's not a gluten issue for me. It's more of just if you take a food and it's really processed, it affects me in a negative way. Do you find that with people with leaky gut, that the whole foods work better?
Yeah, what you're describing about processed foods are typically most processed foods are some type of grain that has been processed. And what happens there is when you eat it, you get a rapid rise in blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when blood sugar rises rapidly, insulin rises rapidly as well, and you get a local inflammatory response. We know this. We have great research on this because if you look at patients who are pre-diabetic or diabetic, their rates for chronic pain syndromes are oftentimes much, much higher. So their rates for autoimmune disease, their rates for osteoarthritis, fibromyalgia, all the chronic pain syndromes oftentimes are related to blood sugar dysregulation. So that's why we look at foods that are whole foods that break down slower in your stomach, obviously that release sugar slower into your bloodstream. And always when you have a meal, you should combine some type of complex carbohydrate with healthy fats and protein.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the healthy fats. I noticed that when I eat a more paleo diet, if I have a big salad, some grass-fed organic meat, a yam and some avocado, I feel amazing.
Yeah.
And I could eat that for breakfast. It's like you find what works for you. But we want to remember those vegetables, right? I mean, that's like a big thing. And that makes a big difference, I'm sure. So talk to us about what you've seen, and then I want to move into how to move your body. What have you seen with patients in your practice and other people who've read the book when they make these changes?
It's so fascinating because the average person with chronic pain goes upwards of 10 physicians before they can actually find the right path or the right solution. So once people start to look at, okay, maybe I need to look at my nutrition just a little bit, all right, maybe I need to look at my thought patterns just a little bit. When they start to integrate these really simple strategies into their life, all of a sudden their pain starts to decrease from an 8 out of 10 to a 5 out of 10 to a 3 out of 10. And eventually they're saying, hey, you know, I didn't have any pain today at all. It's the first time I've had no pain in over 10 years. How come no one's talking about this? How come the only solution I'm being offered is a drug or a surgery when there are natural ways that we can heal pain? And the truth is we've been looking at pain all wrong. So with my book, Heal Your Pain Now, I talk about the natural strategies that the average person can put into their life very easily. But the book is also has a bigger message about really changing the paradigm of how we treat pain in our healthcare system, in our nation, and actually globally as well. So patients they're floored. You know, when they figure out, hey, gluten was the one thing that was causing my fingers to be stiff, or my stress levels at work are actually related to my chronic back pain. When they start to make these little connections, they heal themselves naturally, and they don't look toward the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories or the opioids or even surgery. And these things at times are needed, but oftentimes they have really bad side effects, and they cost the individual as well as our healthcare system a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, the opioid epidemic is tremendous right now, and obviously you're aware of this. I mean, it's just impacts so many lives in such a negative way.
Yeah, I mean, the United States consumes about 80% of the world's opioids, which is a scary thought, and unfortunately, we have prescribed opioids as the number one tool or strategy for those with chronic pain. And we know that it doesn't work for people with chronic pain. It actually has some awful side effects, and the one particular side effect that I warn people about is not only the addiction and the dependence on it, but also something called pain hyperalgesia. So that is, by taking an opioid, your pain could actually get worse because the receptors in your brain changes, and it actually makes pain worse. So you need more of the drug to obviously decrease your pain. So these are things that I tell people, if you have to be on an opioid, if you're on one right now, you want to have the lowest dose for the shortest period of time, and you want to integrate other natural strategies in line with that opioid.
You know, I want to jump into, before I let you go today, we have about 6 minutes, how to move your body and how to do it in a way that'll help. For example, my mother did swim, and that was something that helped her, and it was easy on your knees. I used to work in adaptive PE and also in adaptive physical therapy. I worked as an aquatic therapist, and I saw what a difference warm water can make for folks when they're doing aquatic exercise. What are some other things? Because sometimes if you're in pain, you get afraid to move.
It's true that, you know, that's what's called fear avoidance behavior. So what I tell people is, first, as you learn more about pain, and I talk about this in my book, as you learn more about pain, you realize that I can be a little bit sore, but I can still be safe because we're looking toward the nervous system as the cause of pain and not necessarily the bones and joints and muscles. So it tells you that you can start to move in a healthy way. Now, of course, you mentioned seeing a licensed physical therapist, which is a wonderful thing. Pool therapy is wonderful. It's non-weight bearing. If you're moving a little bit already, then obviously you can look toward things like a gentle yoga class or a restorative yoga class, a basic Pilates session, Feldenkrais. Almost all the movement therapies are really great for chronic pain because not only does it make your joints stronger and more flexible, but it also helps make you more confident and decrease that fear that you have from moving. After that, you want to look towards some gentle strengthening. And as people get better, I even recommend some high-intensity exercise because as your heart rate raises rapidly and you get that higher-intensity exercise, it releases those natural opioids. And once those natural opioids in your brain are released, your entire body feels better, and it's more powerful than any type of opioid that we have available to man that you can buy on the market. So I like to tell people that there's a natural pharmacy in your body. You just have to learn how to tap that, and movement is a great way to tap into that natural pharmacy. Nutrition is a great way to tap into that natural pharmacy. And gaining control of your thoughts is a natural way to tap into that pharmacy as well.
Well, the book is so fantastic, Joe. Again, Heal Your Pain Now, the revolutionary program to reset your brain and body for a pain-free life. Again, I wish my mother would have had this book. I'm just so grateful that you wrote it. And again, I love Sarah Gottfried, MD, by the way. She did the foreword. She's a New York Times bestselling author of The Hormone Reset Diet. It really is amazing now that we're getting more in touch with how food can, you know, be medicine.
Yeah, I mean, in my book, there are three significant chapters on nutrition. One is more of a whole foods diet. One is a gut healing protocol. And the last one is a ketogenic diet, which we're just starting to learn about the benefits of ketosis for various types of chronic diseases, as well as chronic pain. So nutrition's a major pillar in my book, Heal Your Pain Now. It's a major pillar in my practice, and it should be yours as well if you're struggling with chronic pain.
I completely agree. Joe, tell us all the ways we can learn more about you and your fantastic work.
So you can find my book on Amazon or any online retailer, as well as in stores. It's called Heal Your Pain Now. You can also find more information out about me on my website at drjoetatta.com. That's drjoetatta.com. And if you want to find the root cause of your pain, you can go to this website. It's called The Pain Quiz, thepainquiz.com. You can take a great quiz that'll tell you what exactly is the root cause of your pain.
That is fantastic. Joe, thank you so much for being here on Talk Healthy today. I'd love to have you back. We do a Foodie Friday, and I'd love to jump into the different diets, especially looking at the keto diet. I've been really interested in that, and I'm sure you listeners would love to hear more about it as well. So I want to thank everyone for listening to Talk Healthy today. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can subscribe by going to RadioMD.com and clicking on the programs and then Talk Healthy Today. Everybody, you can heal your pain now. Check out Joe Tata and stay well.